Welcome back to the Ireland-Canada Connection, a podcast series where we explore the economic, diplomatic and cultural relationship between Ireland and Canada. This is an original series brought to you by the Ireland-Canada Business Association. I'm your host, Patrick Haughey, and in this episode, I meet Bláthain O'Donnell, sales manager for Air Canada in Ireland. The aviation industry is going through a period of significant innovation right now, in particular around its efforts to become more environmentally sustainable and lessen its impact on the planet. Bláthain outlines some of the fascinating things that Air Canada is doing in this regard, from small but effective things like reducing the weight of the paint on airplanes, right up to the introduction of electrically powered planes in the near future. We also speak about the return to business travel and why SMEs have been much quicker to get back to making business trips than larger companies have been. And we hear all about the future of aviation and what this is going to mean for travellers. Bláthain starts by telling me a little bit more about Air Canada.
Air Canada is celebrating its 85th birthday this year, so we've had a few little small celebratory events around the world for this. We're headquartered in Montreal in Canada. We operate to 51 airports in Canada, 51 airports in the United States, and 81 airports around the world as well. So we're truly a global airline. It's not just about Canada, it's about connecting Canada to the rest of the world and the rest of the world to the rest of the world as well.
And your role within Air Canada, what do you do?
I'm sales manager for Ireland. We're a small operation here in Ireland, so we generally get to do a little bit of everything in a sales manager role. So it's everything from liaising with travel agencies that sell Air Canada to the Ireland Canada Business Association. So I'm kind of the rep or the person that is liaising with the Ireland Canada Business Association for Air Canada in Ireland. So we get to do a little bit of everything, liaising with the embassy, liaising with Canadian organisations in Ireland and corporate clients in Ireland, and liaising with tourism resources as well. So it's a little bit of everything.
Well, you mentioned the Ireland Canada Business Association, and something we will pick up on before we wrap up today is that idea of the importance of connectivity from an island like Ireland to a place like Canada, the amount of flights and the importance of those flights in keeping businesses connected. Because as we know, there's a lot of multinational Canadian companies with a big presence in Ireland, and also a lot of Irish companies with operations in Canada. So having them connected is so important. So we'll come back to that in a couple of minutes. But one of the main topics I wanted to concentrate on this episode, Bláthain, is the work being done by the aviation industry, and in particular Air Canada, around environmental sustainability. Essentially reducing the impact of aviation on the planet. Something that every industry, I guess, is prioritising right now. I know that Air Canada are working on programmes for carbon capture and sustainable aviation fuel. Big ticket items, delivering big results. But they're very specialised areas, and we want to come back to those and deal with them properly in a future episode. But there are so many other things happening alongside them. So maybe you could outline some of the other actions and strategies in play.
You're right, Patrick. I mean, environmental sustainability has become really prevalent in the world at the moment. So we have a really strong programme that we have developed over the past number of years, and it's got a number of different strands. I mean, if you wanted to kind of boil it down to two different things, it's leave less and do more. There's two strands that we have to our environmental programme. So we want to leave less carbon, leave less waste, and we want to do more in terms of activities to prevent the further introduction of carbon and waste into the environment as well. So we have those two strands there. I mean, in terms of the leave less, it can be anything from having more fuel efficient aircraft. So we obviously make sure that when we're renewing our fleet, that we're choosing aircraft that have really good environmental credentials. We work with our suppliers in order to be able to achieve those aims. So we have a whole fleet team that looks at each aircraft that we potentially might be purchasing or entering into a leasing agreement with. And we have to make sure that that aircraft fulfills our goals that we have, which is to be net carbon neutral by 2050, and we have interim goals there as well. So every purchase that we make has to be designed to fulfill those goals. For example, in terms of the aircraft purchase, we have entered into an agreement to purchase 30 new electric aircraft types. I've got my note here now here just to tell me what kind it is. It's called the ES-30. It's an electric regional aircraft, and it's developed by Heart Aerospace in Sweden. And not only have we entered into an agreement to produce these electric aircraft, we've also invested in the Heart Aerospace company as well. And I suppose that's kind of part of what Air Canada is about. It's not just about us developing solutions on our own. It's about us partnering with other companies who have expertise to be able to bring those solutions to fruition as well. So those 30 electric aircraft, for example, when they come on board, and that'll be 2028 probably before they come on board, but when they're operational, they'll have the capacity just for 30 passengers on board. So these would serve very small regional routes, small hopper type aircraft. Like say, for example, I don't know what routes we will decide to put them on, but if you took a route like, for example, Vancouver to Vancouver Island, like Victoria and Vancouver Island, for example, that would be an ideal type of a route to be able to have a hopper type aircraft there on an electric aircraft. And those aircraft would have a range of, is it 200 kilometers fully electric, 400 kilometers if it's based on hybrid, because it's a hybrid type electric technology as well. And if the passengers were reduced down to 25, it would have a range of 800 kilometers. So that's the kind of thing in terms of the future of the sorts of aircraft we'll be able to use. Now, obviously, we can't use those smaller aircraft on all of our routes. We have large aircraft as well, and we operate kind of regional mid aircraft as well. So we have, for example, some new aircraft orders that we put in on the Airbus A220, for example, which is an excellent fuel efficient aircraft as well, using lightweight technologies. So in terms of the purchase of aircraft, that would be one way that we try to be able to do things. But right throughout the whole aircraft journey, I mean, there's lots of different things that we can do in terms of leaving less. It can be anything from, for example, the little wheelie trolleys that all of the flight attendants have. So when they fly on board our aircraft, we made sure that we had really light versions of those baggage. So it means that if you were to compile all of those kilos less that you would have in the luggage, for example, for our own air crew, then that would reduce the amount of fuel that we'd need on board, which means less carbon emissions going out, for example. We've reduced, for example, on board in the flight deck where the pilots and the co-pilot sits, we have, for example, iPads instead of all those big bulky manuals that used to exist many years ago. So all those manuals and checklists and all of those, they're heavy. And if you multiply those out by the amount of operations that we have a day, you'll find actually that the iPad technology is really good as well, you know, so that really kind of contributes to less fuel on board. Yeah,
that is, it's absolutely fascinating. And I was even reading down to the type of paint used on or within the aircraft. Some paint is quite heavy, I guess, you know, traditionally a lot of it was lead based, so by looking at lighter paint, like you say, maybe for one airplane or one aircraft, it's not a huge saving, but you have so many aircraft in the air doing so many trips on a yearly basis that it really does all add up.
Absolutely. A number of years ago, I think it's about 4 or 5 years ago now at this stage, we did a complete rebranding of our aircraft. So we have all new paint jobs on board all of our aircraft at the moment. And part of the branding for that exercise took into account the colours that are used. And the colours that are used actually can relate to the fuel burn that there is as well. So it's really fascinating how all parts of the business can actually contribute to sustainability. Everything from the branding to the aircraft purchasing, it's right across the board in an airline. It's not just one department's responsibility for sustainability in a company. It's all of the departments. It's what we need all to do together. So, yeah.
So, Bláthnaid, in terms of operations on the ground, what kind of stuff is happening there?
Well, there's lots of different things that we're doing. For example, we have what are called mobile startup units. These are what help an aircraft to start up at the beginning of an operation for a jet engine. And traditionally, they're diesel powered, but we've now entered into trials over in Canada, which are electric mobile startup units. And those trials are going really well at the moment. And the idea is to be able to expand and roll these out right across the system in order to have these electric ones as well. So they reduce, not in terms only in terms of the emissions as well, but also for the health and safety of those people that are working on the ground as well. So those people that are on the ramp as well. So that's a great innovation, those electric mobile startup units as well. We also have a few more things, for example, solar panels on our hangars. We've introduced solar panels on our hangars. So they're huge, these hangars, they're really big. So they're perfect for solar panels as well. So that sort of thing, and that'll be at the airports as well. We've also got little things like, for example, you know, those carts that you have up and down the aisle that have your meals and your drinks on them as well. We've made sure that when we're purchasing those, they're the lightest type of ones that we can have possible, because traditionally they've been quite bulky. But of course, a lighter version of those then means less fuel on board, which means less emissions as well. So those kind of things are good. But we've also, for example, with pilots, you know, they have to be able to predict, along with our operations department, the amount of fuel and water that they need to take in on board for a particular flight. And we use artificial intelligence to be able to help the pilots to predict accurately how much fuel and water they will need for a particular journey, based on the weight of the luggage and based on the weight of all of the passengers on board as well. So it means that they're only taking on what is necessary. If they take on more fuel, it's going to mean there's more fuel needed to burn that fuel, etc. So it means that the less fuel and the less water that we take on board, within obviously safety parameters, we're able to then reduce the amount of burn and the amount of emissions as well. So that's where artificial intelligence has helped our pilots and operations department to be able to predict the correct amount for a particular journey. Just another thing we're doing at Air Canada is our uniforms. So obviously everyone that flies in Air Canada knows that we have uniforms for all of our crew. But what happens to those uniforms when either somebody outgrows them, or when they're actually not fit for purpose any longer? So we have two different categories. We have a uniform swap, which has an app. So in other words, if you've got a crew member that needs an extra item of clothing, for example, they can go onto an app, and something that has been used previously, or is what we call gently used, they can then opt to have one of these instead of having a new one, for example. And all of those items of clothing that are previously used or gently used are on that app, for example. If something is beyond repair and is not suitable for reusing, for example, they're all reused again. So, for example, we have a program in Canada where items of uniform are donated to charities. All of the branding is taken off there, and it would be given to people who, for example, would be going back into the workplace and mightn't be able to afford a uniform of some description, trousers, suit jacket, etc. And then they're used. And interestingly, with the pilot uniforms, because they're a little bit more sensitive, the pilot uniforms, so we have to make sure that they are dealt with correctly, because we don't want it getting into the wrong hands. The pilot uniforms, they're shredded and they are used for various items. For example, they're used for punching bags, you know, kind of those like for boxing in community centres and youth projects throughout Canada. They're used as the stuffing inside of those, and they're also used for the stuffing inside aircraft as well. So it's interesting. Everything can be reused, and we just have to find a way to reuse every single little piece of everything that we use. So it's all about leave less and do more. So we're leaving less and we're doing more as well.
And it strikes me that all of this working together is actually going to be good for the company's bottom line as well.
Well, absolutely. I mean, less fuel that's used on board obviously it contributes to the bottom line. And we all know at the moment, obviously, that fuel increase and energy increases are to the forefront for everybody, in our own gas and electricity bills at home. But obviously for an airline, that's really important as well. We don't want to make travel unsustainable financially for people. So we have to invest in technologies that make sustainability in terms of financial availability for travel for both our corporate clients and our leisure clients as well. So we need to make sure it's accessible to people. We don't want to go back to the old days when, you know, you can probably remember yourself in the good old days of air travel, when air travel was only for the elite, really. It was only for those who had an awful lot of money. Air travel should be accessible to most people, because we're a global economy, we're a global world. And in terms of both the leisure side of it, either for vacation or holidays, or the big part, which is friends and family as well, going to visit friends and family, we want to make sure that's accessible. And in terms of the corporate clients that are traveling, we know that throughout the pandemic, you know, a lot of business did not get done, you know. So we obviously have all these great technologies like Teams calls and Zoom calls and all of these extra things, which are great as an alternative measure, but nothing beats it's the face-to-face of getting back together with people again and doing good old-fashioned business as well. And I think people are realizing that now, that they're playing catch-up and being able to meet face-to-face again. So we want to make sure that obviously our corporate clients, that the kind of businesses of Ireland, from my perspective, are able to go across and meet with their counterparts in Canada and do good business deals without it really affecting their bottom line as well. So anything we can do from a sustainability and fuel reduction point of view helps those ticket prices to stay at a sustainable level.
That's interesting. I guess it also is important that a company like Air Canada is doing this, because aside from the cost considerations around buying a flight ticket, there are, in a way, ethical considerations around, well, God, do I really need to make that trip? Because air miles traditionally are not great for the environment. So if a person who is kind of maybe on the borderline knows that by taking this flight today compared to 5 years ago, that it's actually doing far less, making far less of an impact on the environment, then I guess that's going to be good for business too, because it's keeping the next generation of flyers interested.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we want to make sure that when travellers fly with us, that they're actually happy about flying with us. They need to be invested in that journey with us as well. We provide a number of tools to be able to help them, either as an individual leisure style customer or a corporate traveller, to be able to do that. So we have, for example, partnerships that have been recently announced with a company called Choose. That's Choose with lots of O's in it. They are a Norwegian-based, Oslo-based company, and they enable travellers to be able to offset their journeys as well. So once they go and book a ticket, for example, online in Air Canada, or you can go in directly yourself, they're able to then choose how much it would be to offset that particular journey in terms of carbon offsets. So they're able to do that at the time of purchasing their ticket and make an informed decision about that travel as well. How much is going to cost in terms of the cabin, how much carbon, and how much they're going to have to pay for that in order to make their particular journey carbon neutral as well. So we're providing tools to the customers in order to make the correct decisions that suits them as a company or as an individual traveller as well.
Continuing on customers a little bit, it's really interesting that you provide this facility for them. But in terms of personal responsibility for customers, can they also be playing their part when flying, not just offsetting their carbon emissions through the tool you just mentioned, but also just packing less? Really simple, small stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'd always encourage, you know, customers to be able to pack less. And for example, we've introduced over the past number of years what are called basic fares. And these are fares that don't have a checked luggage as part of their fares as well. So obviously it's less expensive, this fare, but also it entitles you only to bring a cabin bag on board with you. So people then, if they decide, they look at that and they go, ooh, that's a great fare. That's much better value for money. Can I get away with only just packing one cabin bag? I mean, with other airlines in Ireland, we've been kind of used to that idea of choosing that. But in terms of international airlines traveling long haul, it's only a new concept to have these bagless fares, so to speak. So it means you just bring less on board because you're conscious about how much it is you're actually packing. Do I need to check a bag? Am I able to manage this trip very well with only a smaller bag, etc.? Certainly myself, you know, if I go over to our corporate headquarters, I just travel hand baggage only if I'm going for like 4 or 5 days. And you do less, you learn to pack an awful lot less as well. Yeah.
It's a skill in itself. But I think you mentioned people going over to see friends and family in Canada. You know, I can foresee very difficult conversations when am I going to have to leave those 24 Denny sausages back at home because they probably weigh a little bit much. Maybe stick with the Barry's tea bags and the Tato. They're far lighter.
I think the Barry's tea bags are very, very acceptable to a visitor over in Canada. Certainly when I look at all the Canadian Irish forums that are over in Canada, Barry's tea bags always feature high on the list as well. And packets of McDonald's curry sauce, I think, as well. They're quite light.
Oh, yes. My sister lives in Germany and I've regular consignments go over it. Yeah. It's quite a product. Yeah. Very good. Just back to this idea of business travel, and we touched on it a little bit there, but you are also very involved in the Ireland Canada Business Association, so you see firsthand the travel between the two countries, the business done between the two countries. So that face-to-face piece that you mentioned, is that something that's really important? And having see it obviously go away during COVID, are we seeing return? Is it just human nature to want to get face-to-face when necessary?
Yeah, I mean, look, COVID, you know, it really put a bit of a stop to all of these types of concessionary travels, because people had to really need to go because of the amount of paperwork and all sorts of things that they needed to do in order to travel, even after the borders opened up officially. Now, of course, since the 1st of October, there aren't any necessary kind of admin requirements in terms of COVID to going into Canada again. And that's opened up Canada completely in terms of anyone who wanted to go in, whether they're vaccinated, not vaccinated, etc. So now really is kind of the good judger as to whether or not we're going to be going back to the previous levels of corporate travel. Certainly from a leisure travel perspective, things have bounced back completely, and people are, our load factors, as we call them, our loads on our flights, are as they were in 2019. We're really happy with them out of Ireland, and our Irish operation is very strong for us at the moment. In terms of the corporate travel, it's taken a lot longer for that to come back again. We have noticed in particular that the small and medium businesses tend to be traveling a lot sooner than the big global type businesses. So those smaller companies know the value of face-to-face meetings, because that's what their selling point is a lot of the time, that personal contact. So certainly from those SME businesses that we have in Ireland, we've noticed that the bounce back has been quicker and stronger. And the global type companies are actually a little bit longer in terms of coming back again. They are coming back, but it's just taking that just that little bit longer as well. So so we're confident that those levels will return. We do know that people prefer to do business face-to-face. If they have to do it online, etc., they will, but they do enjoy the experience of meeting with clients and potential clients in person, face to face as well. So certainly it's happening, but in certain areas of business it's happening a little slower than others.
Finally, Bláthain, you mentioned you're working with Air Canada the last 6 years, quite a 6 years between COVID, between the innovation that you're talking about, oil prices, everything happening. It must be a really interesting and fast-moving industry and sector to be working in. Do you enjoy it?
It is. I love it. I absolutely adore it. I've been with Air Canada 6 years, and I always say this time around, I used to work with Canadian Airlines and Air Canada about 20 years ago. I've worked with other airlines. I've worked with corporate travel management companies as well. So I've been over 25 years in the travel industry at this stage, and I absolutely love every part of it. And I'm able to see it both from the airline point of view and the travel management, so the corporate side as well, because I worked 10 years in corporate travel management as well. So in order to be able to bring both sides of it and understand both sides, that's been brilliant. But yeah, I've been 6 years this time around with Air Canada. And a lot of the people I worked with 20 years ago in our London office are still there. We have a lot of people that stay on in Air Canada. It's a good company to work for, and it is like a big family. So I even have one colleague in London who's celebrated 45 years already at Air Canada. So that's a bit of an achievement, isn't it?
Yeah, and I would imagine when he started 45 years ago that the idea of an electric plane in the sky was something that was like a science fiction novel. Isn't it amazing how things have changed?
Absolutely. Oh, I could tell you the stories. I mean, we back in the old days, I can remember with tickets being able to use this kind of a credit card style machine, and you'd whiz the ticket back and forth over this to validate the ticket. We had stickers that we used to revalidate tickets. There was so much more. And then we had to obviously manually be able to recalculate it fare for somebody. I started out in reservations with an airline, so I started from the bottom up, so I know all the different parts of the industry as well. But look where we are now. I mean, look at the innovation that's come technology wise into the industry right across the board. I mean, nowadays we have so many more things from a technological point of view that make life a lot easier for travelers. Even I see some airlines bringing in baggage tracking devices being put on all of their bags, etc. This is going to be the future. We're going to be able to see all of this in the future. We have an app, for example. On that app, if we have a flight disruption, if something happens midair, you know, kind of midair to make your next flight delayed, for example, you get a notification on the app to say your next flight's going to be delayed or cancelled. Would you like to reschedule? What would you like to reschedule to? And you have a degree of choice involved in that as well. So it means that it's kind of putting the power back on the individual traveler for what they want to do in their particular itinerary. We never would have had that before. We would have to wait until the plane lands, everyone queues up at the old ticket counter and says, what am I going to do next? And one person has to deal with a big queue of people. But now we're able to pass back that power to the traveler as well. So good innovations, and there's more to come, lots more to come as well.
Bláthain O'Donnell of Air Canada, thanks so much for joining us on the Ireland Canada Connection podcast.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ireland Canada Connection. If you enjoyed listening, make sure to check out some of our previous episodes, and you can also follow the series for free on Apple or Spotify, and leave a rating and review if you're feeling particularly generous. And for more information on the Ireland Canada Business Association and what we do, please visit irelandcanada.com. I hope you can join us next time.